Welcome to the Raised with Jesus podcast, 10 minutes every day where the life of Jesus meets yours. You've got your daily Bible reading for January 28th, 2019. Today, looking at Joshua chapters 3 and 4. After Joshua had gotten up early in the morning, he and all the Israelites set out from Shittim and arrived at the Jordan. They stayed there until they crossed over. After 3 days, the officers went through the camp and gave this order to the people: as soon as you see the priests from the tribe of Levi carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, you are to set out from your position and follow the Ark, but keep a distance between you and the Ark, about 3,000 feet. Do not get too close to it so that you can determine which way you should go, because you have never crossed over this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, because tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things for you." Then Joshua said to the priests, "Lift up the Ark of the Covenant and pass by in front of the people." So they lifted up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. The Lord said to Joshua, "Today I will begin to exalt you in the eyes of all Israel, so that they will know that just as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. You are the one who will give this order to the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant. As soon as you come to the edge of the water of the Jordan, you are to stand still in the Jordan." Joshua said to the people of Israel, "Come closer to me and listen to the words of the Lord your God." Then Joshua said, "This is how you will know that the living God is among you, and that he will most certainly drive out from before you the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Hivites, the Perizzites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Look, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is about to cross over the Jordan ahead of you. So now choose for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man from each tribe. As soon as the soles of the feet of the priests carrying the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, as soon as the soles of their feet come to rest in the waters of the waters of the Jordan flowing down from upstream will be cut off, and they will stand up in one heap." So the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan, and the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant went ahead of the people. As soon as the priests carrying the Ark came to the Jordan, and as soon as their feet dipped into the edge of the water, the Jordan is full, and overflows all its banks during all the days of the grain harvest. The waters flowing down from upstream came to a standstill. The waters piled up in one heap, very far away at Adam, the town that is next to Zarethan. And the waters flowing down to the sea of the Arabah, that is the Salt Sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed the Jordan opposite Jericho. The priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel was crossing over on dry ground, until the entire nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Chapter 4. When the whole nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord told Joshua, "Take 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and give them the following orders. Pick up 12 stones from here in the middle of the Jordan, from the place where the feet of the priests are standing securely. Carry them over with you, and put them at the place where you will stay tonight." So Joshua called the 12 men whom he had selected from the people of Israel, a man from each tribe. Joshua said to them, "Go into the middle of the Jordan, in front of the Ark of the Lord your God. There, each man is to lift up one stone on his shoulder. The number will correspond to the number of tribes descended from the sons of Israel, so that this may be a sign among you when your children ask in the future, 'What do these stones mean for you?' Then you shall respond to them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off in front of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. When the Ark passed through the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. These stones will serve as a permanent memorial for the people of Israel." So the people of Israel did just as Joshua had ordered. They picked up 12 stones from the middle of the Jordan, corresponding to the number of the tribes descended from the sons of Israel, as the Lord had instructed Joshua. They carried the stones over with them to their lodging place and deposited them there. Joshua also set up 12 stones in the middle of the Jordan, at the spot where the feet of the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant had stood. They are there to this day. The priests who carried the Ark remained standing in the middle of the Jordan until everything that the Lord had commanded Joshua to speak to the people had been accomplished, just as Moses had commanded Joshua. The people moved swiftly and completed the crossing. When all the people had finished crossing, the Ark of the Lord and the priests crossed over in the presence of the people. The descendants of Reuben, the descendants of Gad, and the half-tribe of Manasseh arranged by their military units, had crossed over ahead of the people of Israel, just as Moses had commanded them, about 40,000 men armed for battle. They crossed over to the plain near Jericho to wage war in the presence of the Lord. That day the Lord exalted Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they honored him just as they had honored Moses all the days of his life. The Lord said to Joshua, "Command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Testimony that they should come up out of the Jordan." So Joshua commanded the priests, "Come up out of the Jordan." When the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came up from the middle of the Jordan, as soon as the soles of their feet reached dry ground, the waters of the Jordan returned to their place, and it overflowed all its banks as before. The people came up from Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and set up camp at Gilgal, on the eastern border of Jericho. Those 12 stones that they had taken from the Jordan, Joshua set up at Gilgal. He said to the people of Israel, "When your children in the future ask their fathers, 'What are these stones?' you shall teach your children, 'On dry land Israel crossed over this Jordan.' For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan in front of you until you crossed over, just as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up in front of us until we had crossed over. He did this so that all the peoples of the earth would know that the hand of the Lord is strong, so that you would fear the Lord your God always." This is the word of our God. We've got two takeaways today, and they're both kind of related. But first of all, you know, this is about 45 years after the Israelites had come out of Egypt and after they had walked through the Red Sea, maybe 43, but they, you know, you got to factor in the 40 years that they've spent in the desert, in the wilderness, wandering as discipline from God. And they had spent a year at Mount Sinai when they had first arrived there. So I think it is right around 45 years. I might have to look that up. So this generation of people who are now crossing the Jordan, they're, you know, in their 50s, and they've got children of their own, and they hopefully remembered the rescue from Egypt and that first Passover that had happened when they were children, when they were young people. Because you remember when they were wandering out in the desert for 40 years, God said only those who are age 20 or younger will survive, aside from Joshua and Caleb. And so when God brings his people, there's two things that he had done already. He brought his people out of slavery, and then he brought his people into the promised land. That's two separate events. And I think that's, you know, kind of characteristic of how God works, how God takes us away from slavery, takes us away from something bad, and then he brings us into something better. And that's what he does for his people here. So he brings them through, and he duplicates the miracle of crossing the Red Sea, but this time it's the crossing into the promised land. And so kind of the two takeaways that we have is, first of all, that God wants his people to remember. So he sets up this memorial. God tells Joshua, you know, pick 12 guys to grab some stones, some big, you know, fairly sizable rocks. It's not a piddly little pile of stones here. Pick out 12 rocks from the middle of the Jordan River and then set them up. And then secondly, the other takeaway is that Joshua instructs the people on how to teach their children. Because the life of God's people is always, always focused on the great things that God has done for us. And the great things that God has done for us, yeah, you can think of some examples from your own life. Maybe you could try to think of something as you're driving to work and how God had saved you from a car accident or something like that. But when we talk about the great things that God has done for his people, our primary focus is on the great things that are revealed to us in Scripture. The great things that are revealed to us in Scripture, such as the rescue from sin, death, and the devil, such as Jesus dying and rising in our place, such as a little child being baptized into the family of God. Those are the great things of God. And we don't need to be looking around for other great things to take their place. And we don't need to risk becoming dissatisfied with the great things that God has already done. And so God has set up memorial stones. God has set up memorials in a way. And he has instructed his people. You know, we've got these two things, the actual memorial and or the actual reminder and the instruction. They go hand in hand. And here in the New Testament, we've got something even better. Not a simple memorial stone as something to look at and remember. But the greatest thing that God has done for us is winning the forgiveness of sins. And he has given us a memorial meal for sure, but more than that, because it's not just a remembrance, but an actual giving of forgiveness again. That's what Jesus does in the Lord's Supper. He gives you your forgiveness again, and he says, do this in remembrance of me. That's the final aspect of the Lord's Supper. It's not the main focus of the Lord's Supper, but it's that final aspect that God wants you to remember, the great things that he has done for you. And so as you go about your day, among all the things that God has done for you, remember this, that your Lord has won forgiveness for you. So yes, please, teach it to your children.